Open our Bibles to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going to be getting a lesson in love this evening from Paul the Apostle. Do you get that? Lesson of love from Paul, of all people. Here he's talking to these Romans. And he said, I'm going to tell you something I know. The Lord's taught me. And then this is Saul talking to him. They heard stories about him. He was infamous, wasn't he? He knows what he's talking about. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul writes there, owe no man anything. So many people worldly, in this world, they think that that means don't owe money to anybody. Don't owe your word to anybody. Don't let nobody borrow your tools. Don't loan your drills out. Anything. Don't owe them anything but love. And Solomon said, the borrower is servant to the lender. Borrow a servant, slave to the lender, to those that lend to him. If we owe someone something, there's a pressure there, isn't there? You ever bumped into somebody on the street you owe money to? All of a sudden, there's a hindrance there, isn't it? There's a tension, there's pressure. Whether that's a mortgage company, or that's someone that we gave our word to. If that's a grown-up, or it's a little small child. You ever promised a two-year-old a piggyback ride? And then you get home from work and you're tired. And a 6'5", 250-pound man will shrink. There's pressure. There's tension if you owe somebody something. Now, that's not saying here that a believer can't take out a mortgage. It's not saying that believers are not to tell what time they're supposed to be home for dinner. It's not telling us that we can't say we'll come over and help you Saturday with that project around your house. Or that we'll take our nephews fishing. What's it saying? It's telling us, let nothing come between you and another believer that would affect the furtherance of the gospel. Paul told us, said, no, I want to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Let nothing cloud, let nothing be a hindrance to the worship and the glory of Christ. Wouldn't that be something? Our walk in this world is children of God should reflect the love that God has bestowed on us. And it will. And it will. If He loves His child, it's going to show. We see that in the small children walk around this earth, don't we? If they're well loved, you know it. If a husband or a wife or not opponents, they're partners, have a good companionship, you can tell. If an elderly person has friends and family that love them, you can tell. You can see that in somebody. And Christ's love for you is revealed in that new heart. There's going to be a change. Something's going to happen. There's a change in knowledge and understanding. He's revealed Himself to us. That's something we didn't know before. There's a change in attitude. There's a change in the way that we love. How can we change love? Well, now, for the first time ever, we know what love is. We've finally seen it. Start becoming meek and humble as He's meek and humble. We start seeing who our wisdom is. It's not something we know, it's who we know. That's our knowledge. He is. What's a believer's pressure? Worldly, we see that. You owe somebody something, there's a pressure. What's a believer's pressure? What's our debt? It's the love of Christ for us. That's a pressure on us. On a believer, that's with you. It's on your mind. It's on your conscience. We will never be able to pay off that debt because we can never outgive what the Lord's given us. And I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine not paying that debt off. I ain't going to be able to. And we see His love for us. That's what constrains us. He's the lender. He gives us eternal life to His people. He gives righteousness to His people. And we're the willing bond servants. The willing bond servants. And we owe love. We owe love. Solomon also wrote, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And that's true from a parent to a child. You train them up when they're little, and there's going to be a remembrance there as they get older. It's going to be on their mind. But from our Heavenly Father to His spiritual children, when we know our Lord, when we've heard His voice, when we've been taught of Him, we will not depart from it. We may have heard about Him, may have heard some things of Him, but when He speaks to the heart of His child, we will not depart from that. Why? His word will not return unto Him void. He will accomplish that which He sends it to do. And wouldn't we, some people say that's not fair. Wouldn't we do the same thing for my children? If I could put my word in them, what I want them to do, and I knew that they was going to do it, I'd do it right now, wouldn't I? It says in Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love." Owe no man. No man. This isn't just our physical families, those real close to us. It's not just our spiritual family here in this local assembly and other assemblies we know of. This is even to those who's been mean to us. Those that's used us, persecuted us. We're not to owe them revenge. It's not ours to owe. Vengeance is of the Lord. Paul just reminded us of that there in chapter 12. "I've got something for them." You ever thought that? "Boy, I know just what I'll say next time I see it. When I get a chance." How many times have I thought that? That's owing vengeance. I have a debt. That's me being a debtor. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We pray that we can be given the grace to forgive those that sinned against us. Those that's persecuted us. Those that's mean to us. That harmed us. Our Master told us that in Matthew 6. He said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's how He taught us to pray. And He goes on to say, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, is this quid pro quo? Must we forgive first before we're forgiven? No. But when we're shown what we are forgiven in the eyes of a holy God that we offended, we've been given atonement, at one-ment with Him, through the blood of Christ, then we will forgive as. We will forgive as, in the like manner as Christ has forgiven us completely. Our new man will. It will forgive completely. The love of Christ is our constraint, Scriptures tell us. You know what the love of Christ constraining us is? It pulls us. It pushes us. Moves us left and right. It binds us. It turns us. And it comforts us. A word that used to be translated the same was swaddle. Take a little baby and wrap them up real tight so the arms can't get out. And they sleep better that way. That's what believers are. We're swaddled in the love of Christ. It says here in Colossians 3, verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." Those beloved of God, you made holy, the elect of God. Put on the insides, the bowels, the heart. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Owing no man anything, whether it's a debt or a retribution, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, no matter what it is, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond. It's the unity of perfectness, of perfection. That doesn't sound too peaceful to me if I got to forgive everybody. That sounds peaceful to them, doesn't it? I want to be forgiven. It's hard to be the one that forgives, isn't it? How can I have peace knowing that I was right and they were wrong? How can I have peace in forgiving a debt of offense? Somebody to offend me. Look here in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Well, what a reminder. Christ saved you. He saved me. And that's personal. And that comes to me. It comes into my heart. When it comes into the believer's heart, He's made you one in His body. And be ye thankful. We forgive all, owing only a debt of love, because ye, because I, wretched sinners, were called into the body of Christ. And His peace rules our hearts. The peace He gives. When we start to have that debt of vengeance that I get, when I start to have that debt of vengeance, oh, I'm going to get them. Grit my teeth. I shouldn't be mad. You know what attitude I'll have? I ought to be thankful. When somebody offends me, if somebody persecutes me, just mean, I ought to be thankful. Good. That's what I'll say. How could we be thankful? We're reminded of what we are by nature and what I just thought, what I just wanted to do. And I'm reminded of the love that God shed abroad in our hearts. Point me once again. Turn to me again to His throne of grace. That's right where He brought me. That's something to be thankful for. That's a short 2-second trial we go through, isn't it? Do I do that? Am I thankful every time I'm so mad I can spit nails? I don't, do I? But we continually see our shortcomings in the light of the love of Christ for us. Just as we saw last time we were here in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. We're to honor and obey those that are put above us. They just might be the Lord's people. And our words or our actions are used to draw them to hear the gospel. When they see the love of Christ working in His people, constraining His people, and those people forgiving as they've been forgiven. And that's not our good works, is it? It's not something I choose to do. It's going to help me out. We get another crown, another jewel of my crown in heaven. That's me desiring to get out of the way, to owe no man anything. For me not to be involved. I'm to show up, love, and leave. God may use that opportunity to save His child. And I don't want to be a hindrance. And I don't want anything I've done in the past to be a hindrance, either word or indeed. Let me owe no man but anything but love, so that I'm less likely to bring reproach on the good news that's Christ and Him crucified. Let me only love. Our Master said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. How are we supposed to do that? As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Initially, it sounds harder for me to forgive my enemies than it is of my close friends and loved ones, isn't it? But it can actually be harder to forgive those that's closest to us. Our family, our friends, our brethren. Why would it be harder to forgive them? We know them. Just been more familiar with them. They ought to know better than talk to me like that. I owe no man anything but love. And love those that have been mean to you. They've been against you. Looking back in our text here in Romans 13. Don't just forgive the debt of vengeance against an enemy, but love them. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. You know, love's not just the absence of hate. It's not even just liking somebody. I've heard people say, well, you can love somebody and not like them. That's true sometimes, isn't it? People say, oh, I don't know about that. I love me, and there's a lot of times I don't like me. To love is to spend yourself to profit another. To spend of yourself to profit another. And that could be through time. Giving you time for somebody else. Giving you preferences. Well, I'd like to do it that way. We'll do it your way. Because that's love. You give yourself for another. Money, anything. But it's without personal benefit. You don't gain anything from it. It's giving of yourself for another. And that's why it's translated so many times, charity. We know that charity is given to somebody and you don't get anything in return. That word's love. It's to give something without return. There's a giving. He says there in verse 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." And I thought, Paul did this once before. I'm going to look those words up. Those "another's" there are two different words. Love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's the same there as in Galatians 1. When he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." That means a drastically, totally different gospel, which is not another. It's not similar. It's not close. It's drastically different. Saying here, "Owe only a debt of gratitude," that love debt, "to those that are similar to you, to your brethren, your family, those closest to you, but also to those that are drastically opposed to you. Completely another. Our master said, "You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Praying for those that use you, that despise you. What do we pray for? It's truly mean. Just cutting to the bone, purposefully saying something as ornery to me as they can just to get to me. And I have to pray for them. What do I pray for? Lord, shut their mouth. My mind goes to. No, that's not what we pray for. Pray that the love of God be revealed in them. That they come to know Christ. That Christ will be exalted in their hearts. That's the most loving thing we can do, isn't it? That's the most loving thing we can do. They'd hear the truth. They'd hear the gospel. You know, that's my responsibility as a husband and a father. A primary responsibility. If I know Christ, my primary responsibility is to make sure that woman is sitting under the sound of the gospel. Doubly so now. I'm the one standing up here. And those children. That's my primary responsibility. That's the best way I could love them. That's the best way I could love them. Now, if we earnestly pray for our enemies, wouldn't that truly solve any argument? I would say it takes the steam out of your sails, doesn't it? And if the Lord did a work in them, if we were fellow debtors, fellow bondservants to Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us, if we were fellow debtors to that same lender, wouldn't that heal all of our wounds? What could I have against one of my brethren? By doing so, the Holy Spirit writes through Paul that we fulfilled the law. You fulfilled the law. What law? All of it. Every bit of it. By fulfilling that law of grace that rules and reigns in us. We are fulfilling the entire law. That's the only way we can fully fulfill the law of grace is to know the grace of Christ. The only way we can truly love is to know His love. The one who fulfilled the law of God for His people by living in Him, by dying in Him, being risen with Him, we are dead to that law of Moses. But here Paul quotes that second table of the law, the table towards others, in the light of that debt of love towards us and in us. It says in verse 9, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery." You know what adultery is? That's loving yourself. I've heard people say, "Well, I did that because I loved the other person." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't have no respect there. There's no love there. Selfishness. "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill." How would I kill somebody else? I had to love myself more than them. "Thou shalt not steal." I like what you have, but I think it suit me better. I'll take it. That's selfish, isn't it? "Thou shalt not bear false witness." That's slander. That's saying something negative. You can't ever say something negative about somebody without exalting yourself. The only reason you say it is because you think more highly of yourself than you do of somebody else. "Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying." It boils down to this. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." In a sane person's mind, they don't want to harm themselves. We protect ourselves, don't we? I cut my thumb pretty good yesterday on a big piece of cardboard. I didn't do that on purpose. And the next time I go cut up cardboard, I'm going to do it a little different. Just a little cut, but I want to take care of my thumb, don't I? I don't want to harm myself. To love my neighbors, to protect them, to look out for them, to pray for them, and to truly, as Christ has loved me, to love them. That covers the law towards others. That's that whole tablet. Covers everything, doesn't it? If I love them the way Christ loved me, as I love myself, it's fulfilled. It's true and perfect love that's worked in the heart of His children. By His doing, it will not work harm to neighbors. You ain't going to hurt your neighbors by loving them. It won't do any harm. Look here in verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Now, who's my neighbor? I'm not the only one to ask that question. Do you know that? Turn over to Luke chapter 10. Who's my neighbor? Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke 10:25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Christ said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you interpret the law? And he answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right. That's accurate. This do, if you can do it, do this, and thou shalt live. But this lawyer, he willing to justify himself because he hadn't done this. He thought he could, but he knew he was lacking. Willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? He's asking for rules, guidance for the working, isn't he? You tell me who my neighbor is, and that's what I'm going to do. I'll start fresh today. To believe Christ and love our neighbors, do we need to justify ourselves? I think a better question is, can I ever justify myself in anything? Or should I? But can I? Can I ever justify myself in anything? Paul told us in Romans 8, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. He must be the one that justifies. But we respond to His work of salvation, don't we? There's a response to it. Our master is going to tell this lawyer who his neighbors are, and it's not the people that live in adjoining properties. It's not the people next door. And he's going to preach Christ to them, not the law. He's going to preach Christ to them. Look here in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Didn't even go to that side of the road. This man's laid over in a ditch. Here's when his Jews from Jerusalem come down, robbed, mugged. And this one came by, a priest did, went completely to the other side of the road. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. This one here is a little bit more proper, wouldn't he? He went by, but he actually kind of peeked over and keep on going. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. This here is a picture of Christ coming to unconscious, half-dead sinners. Dead in his flesh, coming to us, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, this lawyer knew exactly what he was talking about. There was rules about the Samaritans and the Jews being together. If you was walking down the road and you saw somebody's chariot pulled over and there's a Samaritan woman having a baby, you're not to go help. You steer clear of them. Stay away from them. And likewise, the same the other way. Don't touch them Jews. Stay away from them. They were at enmity with each other. They're at war. Enemies. Verse 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That's not loving in word only, is it? That's not loving in a look. That's where loving in deed and in truth. That's loving as Christ loved us. He's the one picture. Verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. There was an earnest money given. Worldly, this man must not have had much earthly debt because he had money to give. But he was to take care of this Jews that he was enemies with. That's giving. That's truly giving there. But he was willing to take on future debt. Anything that come to pass after this to care for this stranger, this natural born enemy of his. He said, anything else above this, you tell me next time I'm here and I'll pay it. Verse 36. Now, which of these now, of these three, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one of these do you think is his neighbor? That lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. He that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. He that showed mercy, he that showed grace and love that's been shown to him. Now you get that and go do that likewise is what he tells him. Just as Christ loved us while we were enemies, we were ungodly, sinners at enmity with him, he died for us. He didn't give 2 pence, he gave his blood for us. And in that same mind, from that same loving, merciful heart, you who have experienced that perfect love, you who know him, go do thou likewise. You go do the same thing. Turn over to Philippians 4, we'll close. Philippians chapter 4. These are things to think on. Thinking on the mercy that God showed us and sending his Son to live and die in our place. The grace of God and loving us while we hated him. That's not to be worried about what we owe. Who owes us? Who our neighbors are? Who aren't my neighbors? Who do I have to worry about? What rulers are ruling over us? What are they doing? That's why he just addressed those first 7 verses of chapter 13, wasn't it? I'm supposed to worry about all that? No, think on these things. That's different than the rest of the world, isn't it? That's different than a religious world. Current events. It don't matter. Christ saves his people. That's as current as it gets. Nothing else matters, does it? That's what Paul was getting at there in Romans 12 when he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Don't be concerned about this world, the debts of this world, the owing of this world, the neighbors of this world. Just love them because Christ has loved you. It says there in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. What was he getting at? Any praise to the God of our salvation who is truth, that saved us honestly in perfect justice, that's pure and holy. Christ who is lovely to the believer, his proven good report, we know because of where he is now. He continued in virtue and interceding for his people, calling them to himself, and he deserves all praise for doing so. If there be any praise of Christ, think on these things. That's setting your affections on things above, isn't it? Think on these things. What things? What's going on? Who's doing me wrong? Who do I owe? Who owes me? No, think on these good things, on the love of God in Christ towards his people. Look here in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me of all people. You've seen in me. Do. And the God of all peace shall be with you. If I owe no man anything but love, even my worst enemy, if I only owe them love, is that going to work out? What's going to be the outcome of that? You will have God of peace with you. The God of peace will be with you. And some may say, that's just too much for me to do. I don't know if I can do that. I can't either. What? How am I going to do that? How am I going to think on these things and owe no man anything but a debt of love? How am I going to do that? The God of peace must be with you. Man can't do it. It has to be Christ working in us. I pray this week coming up ahead of us and for eternity. I pray for today, for tomorrow, and any other day. All days coming. That we owe no man anything but to love one another. Amen. Let's pray.